This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 17th of October, 1953. The title of this lecture is Thinking Processes. This tape is 56 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Good morning. It's October the 17th, the first morning lecture. Now this morning, I'm going to go into material which makes this one of the more important lectures of this series. And perhaps you will now see why we have been working with subjective techniques so arduously. Now, there isn't any argument with it that what is wrong with the mind is the mind. And the only thing wrong with thinking is thinking. That everything that is wrong with the mind is in the mind, and it's not in some other mind. Auditor ought to get this down pretty well. I'll go over it again, because it's one of those super obviouses. What is wrong with the thinking process of the mind is in the mind itself. It's not in some other mind. The only thing wrong with a mind is that it thinks. However, trying to remedy, I hope you will now see to some degree, a thinking process with a thinking process is on the order of a truck trying to repair a truck. A truck trying to repair a truck. Everybody knew that a thinking machine could not solve a thinking machine. Quite obvious, been obvious to everybody that the problem couldn't be solved. Why has it been so obvious to society that the problem of the mind couldn't be solved? It's because it was a problem. And problems are solved by thinking machines, and they maintained that an organism could not solve itself, and there is actually a mathematical rule or law concerning this. They say a part can only compare with a part and embrace a part, and a part can embrace the whole, which embraces the parts. You think that over again. A part of a pie, while it is like the pie, cannot be the whole pie, because by definition it is part of the pie. Two pieces of pie, unless they are halves of pie, cannot be a whole pie. You see how this is. It's so obvious on observational level that they've carried the observation into thinkingness. So they said a mind, which is some tiny segment of the universal mind, could not then solve the universal mind. You follow that? There's an unreasonable assumption there. The first assumption is that one which has brought mysticism on the rocks every place mysticism's ever been adventured upon. And that is that there is a universal mind. That's the first unreasonable assumption there. And the second unreasonable assumption is that the mind has to do with quantity. Second unreasonable assumption. And these unreasonable assumptions put together by unreasonable men produced something chaotic. And they said then that the mind could not solve the problems of the mind. Organizations of science, so-called, which had existed in the past, have existed on this basis, that the mind was a very, very complex problem, and that the mind could not solve the problems of the mind. And upon this defeatism, all of their research was based. Any genius or any such activity is entirely based upon neurosis. This makes insanity cause for all aesthetics. So artists have been asked to go crazy before they could be artists. And in the culture of the arts, you find a great many people who are trying to follow this and be completely mad so that they can be artistic. And you find all the work being done by pretty darn sane people. They're just working along. And it's when they start to get neurotic that they stop producing. Now, unreasonable assumptions concerning the universal mind and its character did not help but come about, since anybody who really started worrying about introvertively, worrying about his own mind, and then worrying about other people's minds, was simply worrying. It took a high level of action to do something about the mind, and of course that's the one thing the mind isn't. The only thing that's happened here is a fairly high level of action was applied to the problem. The society at this time is in a wonderful condition about the mind. It's in a condition of complete defeat. So much so that if you announce you know something about the mind, you are immediately branded a charlatan. It's one of these, everybody knows. Everybody knows you can't do anything about it. So anybody who tries to do anything about it is immediately a fake. This just follows through, bing, bing. It's a very dangerous assumption, since it leads the society to believe that those people who could do something about the mind are not therefore powerful. And the power which could be applied to the situation, whereby you had a very good set of clear minds applying themselves to the problems, will be horrible to contemplate. Actually, I don't think any of you will go on terribly long worrying about the problem of the mind itself. As I told you yesterday, the mind is a thinking machine. How do you make a thinking machine? Very simple. You put a bunch of spheres, concentric spheres, down around a vacuum, and then you crush them in on the center point. And just before it blows up, it'll start to think. When you put a thought into one side of this machine, it'll curve around and go through pockets and condensation, rarefaction centers, and so it will vary its own wavelength and color. But it associates one thing to another thing, and associates another thing to another thing, and another thing to another thing, and another thing to another thing, until finally you have a whole concatenation of what pretends to be relevant data. Actually, you've only got a concatenation of similarities. What you want, if you want to produce a solution, is a concatenation of identities. But why produce a concatenation of identities? Because the first identity and the second identity would be coincidence. What is the answer to anything? The thing. That is all there is to that. There is no problem about it. But for the sake of randomity, man, thetans began to use minds. They're cute. They surprise them. They do strange things, and they're unpredictable, and it lends some randomity to existence. All right, you've worked during this past week on a number of subjective processes. You found that some of these subjective processes were very workable, within limits. But all the time, you seem to come up against sort of a barrier. Nothing quite happened in the case. The case got lots better. Now, those cases which got better, really, were operated on objective techniques. Objective techniques. One auditor here told me, well, I had this pre-clear, one of us here, and I put him on this perimeter processing. He went way off the bottom of the scale and didn't even read, and then I gave him some six-step better beingness to get him up again. And I got him up again about 1.3, something like that, and got him up on the tone scale and so forth, and then I gave him some more processes, and on this perimeter processing, he fell off the scale again, and so forth, and so I gave him some six steps to better beingness, and he came back up on the scale then, so I could work this perimeter processing. This is something like keeping a man sick so that you can feed him medicine. Now, I don't want to add this in on a disgraceful note, or certainly not a sneering or contemptuous note or anything like that, so don't let this occur to you in that fashion. But nobody called to my attention something you should have called to my attention. I've been waiting patiently for 2 days for somebody to call it to my attention. I've been talking about a thinking machine. I've told you several times how you made a thinking machine, and nobody's called it to my attention. Why? Because there is no answer to the thing except the thing. You haven't been looking at something. Something terrifically obvious. What's wrong with the resistive five? He's thinking. I told you, he's in the center of a thinking machine. Well, how do you make a thinking machine? It's a little worse when you realize that this material forms one little tiny brief chapter of 880, a textbook in your hands. And yet you haven't told me what's wrong with this 5. All right, what's the sequence of perimeter processing as I have given it to you? What is it? One of you did discover blanks in running it, so I added blanks into it. Explosions, nothingness. Black explosions, nothingness. Vacuums, nothingness. Blanks, nothingness. Explosions, nothingness. This is the way we're doing it. What's missing? How do you make a thinking machine?
Implosion.
No. That's right. Have you been running implosions with perimeter processing?
Yes.
Well, good. How many have? He was processing. You put it into operation?
I didn't have to.
Why?
You imploded it.
You can't run it without somebody imploding.